step back in time at the Atrium Cafe as it turns into a speakeasy coming up in September. Rock Stevens is here from the Atrium. Rock, good morning.
Good morning.
How's your summer been?
You know, it's been a terrific summer. Mother Nature has been smiling upon us. And I realize that for as long as I've been alive speaking to Mother Nature, that woman has never listened to a thing I've ever said.
Well, that's true.
So I'm grateful.
She doesn't listen. She does what she wants, but yes. It has been a pretty nice summer. I want to know about the Night of the Cotton Club. What's this all about?
Well, we have two different occasions for the Cotton Club at the Atrium Cafe Speakeasy. And the first one is September 8th, and that one is already sold out with 100 reservations. The next one on the 15th, the following Saturday, we have about 30 reservations as of right now, but we are encouraging guests to dress up in 20s, 30s, 40s attire, get into the spirit of it. We have a five-piece jazz band coming in, and the two lead singers of the jazz band, five African-Americans, but the two lead singer females are dressed up as flappers, and we're just so excited to have something different, something fun, something unique in downtown Port Huron.
I can't think of a better place than the Atrium to do this. I mean, when you go in there, it's like you're eating at a museum. You've got so much cool stuff there.
We have so many of our guests that will make that claim. My God, Rock, when I come here, I feel like I'm dining in a museum.
It really is neat. Where did you get your love of history, Rock?
You know, as a young lad, for some reason, I just so got turned on to history. And I wanted to be an archaeologist. And the high school principal brings me down one day and says, well, Rock, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And when I told him I wanted to be an archaeologist, 5 minutes later, when he stopped laughing, he said, young man, do you have any idea how many times I've looked in the newspaper and seen help wanted archaeologists?
And naively,
I'm saying, no, well, never, you'll never find a job. And I listened to him and I let him kind of talk me out of that. But I decided, well, maybe being a history teacher is sort of kind of the same thing. And so I've always had a love of history. And when we came to Port Huron from Oakland County, we just realized so many of the kids I was teaching at the high school level, they had no idea of St. Clair County's, Port Huron's past. And so my thought, my mission, and I want to bring this back alive. I want to bring Port Huron's history and preserve it, make people aware of it.
I mean, I think every place has history, but we have so much history here.
We do.
In Port Huron and St. Clair County, and important history, too, I think, as it relates to Michigan and to the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of Port Huron, I was hoping I could get your attention this morning, and because sometimes we hear disparaging stories of what's going on in Port Huron, once the mall came in, Port Huron kind of died, all the lights went off. And my thought is that just over the last 10, 12 years, I have seen such phenomenal redevelopment. And I'm so grateful that much of this is beginning to happen in my lifetime when I thought it was never going to. And I just wanted to run down for the listening public to realize some of the new growth that we have. I mean, first of all, we feel with the Atrium Cafe that we're part of a resurgence of bringing restaurants to Port Huron. And with restaurants alone, we have the Atrium, and we're talking downtown Port Huron, the Atrium Cafe, we have the Raven, Kate's, Casey's, Fuel, Pompey's, Teal Gordo's, Lynch's, Chicken in the Rough, Vintage Tavern, Wings, Blackfish, Cabot's Grill, Chef Shells, Moe's Deli, Zebra Bar, Maria's, Coney Island, Powers, Bangkok Star, Lake Effects, Freighters, and Sperry's. And that's just in the downtown area.
That's amazing, yeah.
That is so significant. And we are consistently having guests coming into our restaurant and will comment that that's what's bringing them to downtown Port Huron. They're maxed out with corporate America, you know, the franchise restaurants. Well, the last 40 years have grown up with that, and we appreciated it. It was grateful to have it there. But there's a need, there's a desire for people to get back to the way things used to be. And when you look at all of these mom-and-pop-owned restaurants in the downtown area, people are gravitating and appreciating that we are here. I can't tell you how many times guests will come in and say to me that they will thank me just for being there and having the restaurant available to them. Another thing I hear from my guests all of the time that come from out of the area and out of state, honest to God, they'll look up at me and say, Rock, what's the deal? Do you guys put dye in the water here? they've
so
never seen blue water before.
Yeah.
They've never seen that. Yeah. And maybe they live on the Mississippi or the Ohio or the Kentucky and the beautiful waterways, but it's all brown water.
Yeah.
And they are so awestruck when they see, you know, the world's largest body of clean, fresh, blue, pure water right in front of us here.
What amazes me is the different shades of blue, because it doesn't look the same 2 days in a row.
Absolutely.
It depends on the clouds and the way the sun, yes, or even the time of the day. It's,
and some other things that I think are significant with the resurgence of downtown Port Huron is relatively new for downtown. We have the Riverwalk that Atchison has provided for us. We have a farmer's market. The Grand Trunk Marketplace has been delightful. We now have two art galleries, a new YMCA, and the bus terminal. We have the SC4 sports arena that has been reconditioned. Mm-hmm. The possibility that I'm hearing that maybe of a downtown grocery. The Harrington Inn being rehabilitated, which is so exciting. The Sperry's Movie Complex. I mean, how exciting is that? Boutique hotel that will go on the old Michigan Bank down, mm-hmm, there at the corner of Pine Grove and Water Street. SC4 student housing right in downtown Port Huron. We have the renovation of the Port Huron Museum. That was so exciting. The Noche and Ice Museum. And besides our natural amenities with the lake, you know, the lighthouse, the bridges, the river, we have so many unique things to see when they come to downtown Port Huron. And I'm excited that we now have the bicycle rentals.
Yeah.
As I have friends coming from out of the area, that's what they do. They'll come here to visit us. But while here, they'll rent the bikes and they'll travel all over Port Huron. And they're so excited to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And with music, with all of these restaurants that we've talked about, many of them, like ourselves, were offering live music, both local and outside the area, bands that's coming to Port Huron. So many of them are doing karaoke. So there are events for people to do in downtown Port Huron that is just so exciting.
This doesn't happen overnight, but over the last several years, we have seen the momentum build and build and build. And one of the nice things about so many of these projects that you mentioned, Rock, is that we maintain our sense of history. The Harrington Inn being redeveloped,
yes,
the Michigan National Bank building being transformed into city flats. I mean, a lot of our history remains intact.
Absolutely. Here. And we are so fortunate that we have significant developers like Larry Jones and what he's doing to all of the downtown loft apartments. We have Leroy Stevens, is right out your window here, putting up high-rise condos.
Yeah.
And he's just in phase one right now. If that sells out, his plan is that he'll go to phase two and then phase three. My understanding is that phase one is already sold out. So that implies he's going to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dave and Georgina Witt that have done phenomenal renovations in the upper units of our downtown buildings that were in major decay for decades on end. We have Mike right down the street with, they have three different restaurants now that he's doing. I mean, how significant is that? Jerry Kramer, who's also doing some downtown condos back behind the Harrington Inn. Obviously, Jim Atchison just put up his new boat facility, and he has done so much for the downtown and for St. Clair County at large.
Yeah.
We have the new McLaren Hospital expansion. We're just seeing tremendous growth in this area.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned all this because it is easy to get down on this area or to take it for granted or to not even notice it at all. But that's quite an impressive list of stuff.
It really is. And I don't think people are totally in touch with that.
Yeah.
And as I would, from time to time, reading the paper, somebody is kind of, maybe bad-mouthing Port Huron,
sure,
a little bit, and maybe justifiably so. But there's two sides to every coin. And it's fun sometimes to flip it over and let's see what's on the other side.
Yeah.
And the list that I just ran down, that's what's on the other side.
Yeah. You and Gail took a leap of faith when you opened the atrium, didn't you? Because
we did.
Because you were on the cutting edge of all this stuff. It was before a lot of these things came to fruition.
Absolutely. And I remember it was, I think we got the last commercial loan in 2008 before the bottom dropped out. And they were thinking, oh my God, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But I had recalled prior to that, that Jim Atchison that was already doing so much for our hospitals, for our schools, for our neighborhoods, and for the waterfronts. I remember him saying, I can't do it all. I'll do what I can. And I need local entities to step up and, be part of this. And we took that to heart and decided, well, what can we do? And we made the decision. We're going to buy this 1890s building that was in a block of downtown Port Huron that was just decaying.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Victorian homes there, we restored those. We restored the old Military Street Fruit Market, which is what our building was prior to turning into a restaurant.
Yeah. And a restaurant full of all kinds of really cool memorabilia. The Night of the Cotton Club night's coming up in September. Reservations obviously needed for that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So contact the atrium. Do you have any bluegrass stuff in there from your famous family? And tell us that story a little, because we talked about that the other day.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I'll go further with that. But already we've had a couple of bands performing with us this summer, and I would approach them and say, listen, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee. My grandfather was known as Fiddlin' Arthur Smith on the Grand Ole Opry. He picked up a fiddle, learned to play his own fiddle style, whereas it used to be that people would hold the fiddle with their left hand and use the string to change notes. My grandfather learned to use his left hand, not just to hold it, but to play it, hit the notes like a guitar.
Wow.
And still use the longbow to incorporate that into a new style of bluegrass music that everyone since then have tried to emulate. So in 1926, he was invited to go to the Grand Ole Opry, and his fame was that he would enter all of these violin contests, fiddle contests, and he would win all the contests. That gave him the opportunity to be the first radio station in Nashville, Tennessee to play bluegrass music. He was invited to be there, and he became a nightly feature, and that gave him more acclaim. The Grand Ole Opry invited him to come in, and he became a weekly fixture on the Grand Ole Opry for decades. And the amazing thing is, in my grandfather's home, there's a recording studio. So my sister and I literally made records when we were little toddlers, because it was right there.
No kidding.
Just no big deal. And you would buy the record with no groove in it, but as you sang into the microphone, it cut the groove.
Uh-huh.
So we still have records that we made when we were children.
Oh, what a cool thing.
So that was pretty cool. And then literally, I didn't know who these people were at the time, but all these sessions would be going on at my grandfather's home, and my sister and I would be whisked off to our bedroom, time to go to bed. We hated that. So we're peering out the door, looking around the corners, and we're seeing these smoke-filled rooms because everybody was smoking cigarettes back then, smoking cigars, and just jamming up a storm and making these records. And I didn't know who they were because they weren't dressed up in Western attire, but the likes of Gene Autry, Roy Rogers would come to our home and play with my grandfather, and he had befriended that whole network of kind of country Western musicians. And then later on, when the backup singer for Gene Autry wanted to branch off on his own, he found a Hollywood studio to back him, sponsor him. He approached my grandfather, invited him to go out to Hollywood, and my grandfather became the leader of the band in all of the old Saturday matinee singing cowboy westerns, the Jimmy Wakely series. And so I can Google my grandfather's name, and I'll just punch in Fiddlin' Arthur Smith, and I'll be watching my grandfather in these Hollywood westerns dressed up in the attire and fiddling and singing
How
songs.
How cool
and,
is that?
And I'm thinking, I had no understanding that was going on, because that was like back in the 40s when he was making those movies, and I was born in 48.
Yeah.
So I missed much of that. And we didn't even have a TV in our home, so I had no
Let alone Google.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. And I recall when my mom and my aunt went back down to Nashville back, I think it was in the 80s, just to visit friends and relatives. They went to the Grand Ole Opry. The Carter family was performing that night. They spotted my mom and aunt in the audience, invited them up behind stage, and spent the rest of the evening just reminiscing what it was like being teenagers growing up together. And this is before many of them had reached their height of, popularity and acclaim. But they were just teenagers who grew up together and had interesting stories to share with one another.
I bet.
Much fun.
Oh, man, that's really cool. Do you have any memorabilia from that in your...
I do. And there's been twice in my life. One time when we had our antique store next to where the restaurant is now, we had a gentleman that would come in every year, and all he was interested in was musical instruments. He comes in maybe the fifth year in a row, ask about the instruments. We sent him up to an upstairs bedroom. And when he came back down, he was telling us that he just came from New York and went to like a pawn shop, and he found this violin that he bought. And the violin was made by the teacher of Stradivarius. So these are older than the Stradivarius.
Yeah.
And he said, God, when I got out to the car and checked it out, he goes, oh my God, they did not charge me enough. I went back in and gave him more money. But when he mentioned violins, I said, well, listen, do you happen to know the name Fiddlin' Arthur Smith, King of the Fiddlers? And he stopped and just stopped him cold. And he said, oh my God, yeah, why do you ask? And I said, that's my grandfather. This guy almost went ballistic. He gets on his phone, he's calling all over, and he's saying, listen, he's calling people in Texas, and he said, you're not going to believe where I am and who I'm talking to. This is the grandson of Fiddlin' Arthur Smith. This gentleman goes back out to his car, brings in this fiddle, and it's just Gail and I were in the antique store at the time, put on a concert for us that you wouldn't believe.
Really?
We were astounded. And then another time, we're down in Florida going to antique stores, and we go to Micanopy, Florida, which is an antique haven, and we're at this one store, and we could tell that he's playing country music. My wife is looking at antiques. The guy's sitting at the desk. doing some notes, and I walked up to him and said, listen, you're playing country music here. Do you know the name Fiddler Arthur Smith? He slowly looks up at me. He said, yeah, what about him? And when I said, well, that's my grandfather, he too went ballistic and claimed that, listen, if you can bring me any of his memorabilia, come back down next year when you're on vacation. I'll put you up this phenomenal bed and breakfast. We'll go out for dinner. I would be so thrilled to get anything I could of him.
Yeah.
And so that was just so cool to run into people who knew the name. And I now have guests that will come in our restaurant that have made that connection that that's my grandfather. And they'll bring in albums for us that you should have this. Look, this is your grandfather right here.
That's great.
And so we have thoroughly enjoyed having that experience in our life and having that background.
Yeah, what a great bit of history. That's amazing.
I've had two of the music bands that have learned to play the tune Beautiful, Beautiful Brown Eyes that my grandfather made famous. And so on several occasions while they're playing the background music for me, I'll go ahead and sing to our audience.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm a great singer or anything. I've always felt, no matter who the singer is, if it looks like the singer's having a good time, generally speaking, the audience is going to enjoy it.
Exactly.
And the audience is very, very kind and polite and tolerant and allowing me to do that.
Well, keep having fun, Rock.
Well,
keep,
we certainly
keep doing
are.
What you're doing at the Atrium Cafe in Port here at Rock Stevens. Thanks for coming in. Always appreciate your time.
My pleasure.